In early 1917, the original Dixieland Jazz Band made the first jazz recording. Over the next 100 years, we've heard transcendent leaps of creativity and staggering virtuosity. We have experienced the music of crushing pain, breathless romance, anger, exhilaration, and humor. This is that story. 100 years of jazz recordings. From WTJU Charlottesville, your host, Russell Perry. In the last hour, we heard Count Basie emerge as an exciting new voice from Kansas City. In this hour, we'll return to New York to follow Duke Ellington's innovative path through the 1930s as he experiments with longer musical forms while building one of his greatest bands featuring tenor player Ben Webster and bassist Jimmy Blanton. We're joined in this hour by Peter Spahr, bassist, composer, and educator, and member of the performance faculty of the McIntyre School of Music at the University of Virginia. In the 1930s, Duke Ellington's suites begin. Creole Rhapsody, recorded on both sides of a 78, constituted the first extended piece recorded by Duke Ellington. Breaking through the tyranny of the three-minute song liberated Ellington to start thinking in broader terms as a composer. Within the next few years, he would record Diminuendo in Blue and Crescendo in Blue, a piece that would stay in his repertoire for the next 30 years, followed by Reminiscing in Tempo, Perfume Suite, and Deep South Suite in the 1940s. Eventually, he would be composing LP-length suites like Black, Brown, and Beige, New Orleans Suite, and Far East Suite. We'll listen to Creole Rhapsody Parts 1 and 2 from 1931.
Thank you.
Creole Rhapsody, Ellington's first suite from 1931. In the 30s, Ellington collaborated with several vocalists, none of more importance than Ivy Anderson and Ethel Waters. In 1932, Ellington recorded It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing with Ivy Anderson. Robert O'Malley, in his Notes for the Jazz Singer, says, "This song helped name the swing era and is one of jazz music's and life's classic cautionary statements. Ivy Anderson's performance here marked her recording debut with the Duke Ellington Orchestra." We'll follow It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing with I Can't Give You Anything But Love by Ethel Waters with the Duke Ellington Orchestra. Robert O'Malley, again from the Jazz Singers, says, "Gary Giddens says that Ethel Waters is not a jazz singer and does not swing. Well, she swings here. Indeed, when she wants to, she swings in the jazz manner, and she swings from style to style, from parody to celebration, back to parody. And if her impact on singers was ever in doubt, listen to Billie Holiday's version of the same song." Ivy Anderson and Ethel Waters with Duke Ellington and his orchestra.
From simply rotten to something worse. Who knows, someday I will win too. I'll begin to reach my prime. Now, though I see what our end is, all I can spend is just my time. I can't give you anything but love, baby, and that's the only thing I've plenty of. Baby, dream a while, scheme a while, and we're sure to find happiness. And I guess all those things we've always pined for. Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell, baby. Diamond bracelets Woolworth doesn't sell, baby. Till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything but love. I can't give you anything but love. Baby, that's the only thing I've plenty of. Baby, dream a while, scheme a while, babe. You should find a little bit of happiness. And I guess all those things that you know I'm fighting for. Gee, I'd like to see you looking swab, well, well, well. Baby, but you know, diamond bracelets Woolworth doesn't sell. Baby, but oh, till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, no, I can't give you anything but this.
We just heard It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing and I Can't Give You Anything But Love, featuring Ivy Anderson and Ethel Waters. We'll hear more from Duke Ellington and his orchestra in the 1930s when Jazz at 100 continues in a moment.
Broke, kid, it's not a joke, kid, it's a curse. My luck is changing, it's gotten from simply rotten to something worse. Who knows, someday I will win too, I'll begin to reach my prime. Now, though I see what our end is, all I can spend is just my time. I can't give you anything but love, baby, and that's the only thing.
Welcome back to Jazz at 100. We're listening to Beyond Category, Duke Ellington in the 1930s. Let's continue with several tunes from the mid-1930s, starting with The New East St. Louis Toodaloo. The original recording of East St. Louis Toodaloo was a collaboration between Ellington and King Oliver-influenced trumpeter Bubber Miley. Martin Williams, from the Notes to the Smithsonian Collection of Classic Jazz, writes, "In the 1937 version, the rising performance is a fine example of the true collaboration of composer and his musicians. Trumpeter Cootie Williams's is a subtle personal development of the plunger-muted trumpet style, and it is beautifully balanced by Ellington's varied setting. Notice also the keenly played plunger responses by the full trumpet section during the first bridge, and Barney Bagard's liquid clarinet responses to the trombone-dominated variations in the second chorus, followed by his domination of the bridge. We'll also listen to Diminuendo in Blue and Crescendo in Blue, Bragging in Brass, and Concerto for Cootie.
Thank you. Ha ha ha!
We heard New East St. Louis Toodaloo, Diminuendo in Blue and Crescendo in Blue, Bragging in Brass, and Concerto for Cootie. Concerto for Cootie, according to Martin Williams, is dedicated to the variety of sounds that Cootie Williams resourcefully evokes from his open horn and from the use of several mutes in several ways, manipulated plunger on open horn, plunger over straight mute, plunger in tight, etc. Critic Helen Oakley says, Cootie has a conception of savagery and force on the instrument that cannot be equaled. His work with the wah-wah mute is more expressive than speech. We'll listen to the music of the Webster Blanton Band when Jazz at 100 continues in a moment. Thank you. You're listening to the music of Duke Ellington in the 1930s on Jazz at 100. Gary Giddens and Scott DeVoe in their book Jazz write, "Ellington's greatest contribution to the jazz bass came with his discovery of Jimmy Blanton, the man who revolutionized the instrument. Blanton became such a central figure in the addition of Ellington's band that also introduced Ben Webster that the band was later referred to by fans as the Webster Blanton Band. Blanton's brief life and career parallels that of Charlie Christian, they succumbed to the same illness, and his transformation of the jazz bass was every bit as complete as Christian's remaking of the guitar. In little more than 2 years, Blanton changed the way the bass was played and, by extension, the nature of the rhythm section. He expanded the walking bass into a fully evolved musicianship that, while continuing to provide the harmonies and keep tempo, added melodic, harmonic, and rhythmic nuances. Let's start with two tunes featuring the Duke Ellington Orchestra known as the Webster Blanton Band, Congo Brava and Cottontail. Of Congo Brava, Giddens and DeVoe write, "The opening melody, Juan Tizol's contribution, is admirably suited to his trombone, played here with unfailing classical excellence evocative of a romantic opera. This opening mood, however, is complicated seconds later by clarinetist Barney Bagard's elaborate improvised curlicues and snarling commentary by trumpeters Cootie Williams and Rex Stewart, and trombonist Joe Nanton." Ellington covers a staggering amount of territory in his customary 3 minutes, from a Kansas City-style blowing session for Ben Webster to a stunning virtuosic solo for the brass. Now we'll hear Congo Brava and Cottontail. Mm-hmm. That was Congo Brava and Cottontail from 1940. Gary Giddens has written, Cottontail did for Ben Webster what Body and Soul did for Coleman Hawkins and Lady Be Good for Lester Young. Bassist Peter Spahr talked to us about Jimmy Blanton and his place in jazz bass following New Orleans bassists Pop Foster and Wellman Breaux and Kansas City's Walter Page.
He comes along a little bit after Walter Page had established the walking line, being sort of the standard for the rhythm section. And then comes along Jimmy Blanton in the later 30s, early 40s, in his very short-lived career. But in those few short years that he played with the Ellington Band, he completely revolutionized what would become jazz bass playing. He took the bass out of the rhythm section and made it a soloist equal with the horn players. Up until that point, whenever you heard a bass solo, it was usually just like a two-bar break or something at the end of a chorus, stop the whole orchestra so that you could hear the actual bass play. And in those days, it might have been like Pops Foster was kind of famous for doing this little slap bass fills, more rhythmically oriented, and just basically rhythmic filler, not so much concerned with melodic content. But Blanton comes along and completely changes that. He has the virtuosity and the ear and the wherewithal to say, hey, I'm as good a melodist as these horn players. I'm going to play a nice melody way up high on the instrument. A lot of what we, Blanton's legacy is on the smaller recordings, the duets that he does with Duke, you know, where you can hear his virtuosity better. You do hear it in the big band setting. For example, the opening of In a Mellotone. Listen to the bass fills he does with Duke there, you know, in the intro. But then the whole band comes in, of course, you know, he gets absorbed into the rhythm section, and then, you know, he sounds like he's driving the band as hard as Walter Page did, you know, walking forward to the floor. But when the time comes for him to solo, it just flips a switch, and suddenly he's a melodist. He's not a rhythm section player. He's playing up in the higher registers and just, you know, playing things you would attribute to a horn player. If you listen to his solo on Pitter Patter Panther with Duke, you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about. and his time is so solid, he doesn't need a bass player keeping time for him. He can keep those melodies going without the need for that. It's one of the dilemmas of a bass solo is you don't have a bassist covering the harmony and everything for you. One of the dilemmas of being a bass soloist that Jimmy Blanton has left us as part of his legacy. Poor Wellman Breaux, who was the earlier bass player in the Ellington band and a pioneer in his own right, you know, and along comes this kid from Tennessee, Jimmy Blanton, and he comes in and not only can he walk and accompany like everybody, but he's got this solo voice that nobody had heard coming out of a bass before. It was quite revolutionary.
Our thanks to Peter Spahr. Let's listen to In a Mellotone by Duke Ellington's orchestra and Pitter Panther Patter by Duke Ellington and Jimmy Blanton in duet, both from 1940. Thank you. In a Mellow Tone and Pitter Panther Patter. Duke Ellington and his band lived on the road. The historical record includes many live performances, none more legendary than the recording from Fargo, North Dakota, on November 7, 1940. While not an Ellington composition, the band plays Hoagie Carmichael's Stardust, arranged as a concerto for Ben Webster. Stardust by Duke Ellington and his orchestra from November 7th, 1940. In the next hour, as Jazz at 100 continues, We'll hear the music of two of the pioneers of big band music in the late 1930s, Chick Webb and Benny Goodman. You've been listening to Jazz at 100, the history of 100 years of jazz recordings produced by WTJU Charlottesville and funded in part through a grant from the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities. For more information, playlists, and resources, go to WTJU.net/Jazz 100. This is your host, Russell Perry.